Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Continuing our study through Paul's first epistle to Timothy, in chapter 3, as you know, we have qualifications first for pastors and secondly for deacons. And we've studied the qualifications for pastors in some detail, and we're now ready to take up the study of the qualifications for deacons, which begin in verse 8 with these two opening words, "Likewise, deacons." But before we get into the qualifications, that immediately raises a question that we've been trying to deal with, and the question is, why are the qualifications for deacons introduced by a plural noun, deacons, plural, whereas the qualifications for pastors or bishops in verses 1 and 2 were introduced with a singular noun, which says this, "The faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, singular, he desires a good work, a bishop, singular, then must be blameless." But dropping down to the deacons in verse 8, "Likewise, deacons," plural. Now, of course, to even approach this question launches you right in the middle of one of the biggest controversies, I suppose, that the church has wrestled with over the centuries. And it has to do with church government and church officers and the way you define and understand the various church officers, and particularly the office of elder, which is really the one that is more controversial. Deacon is not nearly as controversial, and we'll get more into that in just a moment, but we're still exploring this question about the pastors, bishops, elders, and really the question of how many elders per church, because some are pretty strong in insisting that there should normally only be one pastor per church. That's really a minority view. Others are equally strong, maybe stronger, in their position that there ought to be a plurality of elders per church. But then how you work out this concept of the plurality of elders and how you relate the plurality of elders to the concept of pastor or bishop, that's where you really begin to get into all of the difficulties. And believe you me, it is a jungle out there when you start talking about these issues. And so I'm not going to solve them all, and I'm not going to probably convince anybody who has a different position from mine, but I do think it's profitable to explore these issues, to raise the questions, to think through them, to talk about them, and then to leave it and move on. And that's what we are doing. So this question, how many elders per church? And I suggested on the broadcast yesterday a very practical, but to some people, far too earthy solution to this question. And my answer to that question is essentially, a church should have as many pastors as it can afford. A church should have as many pastors as it can afford. And I am basing that upon a couple of things. Number one, I am using the word pastor as a synonym to elder or bishop. And number two, I'm basing this upon the concept that I find several places in the New Testament that elders are supposed to be financially supported by their churches. And since it's obvious that a small church cannot afford a plurality of elders if they are supporting them financially, then it becomes difficult to impose the requirement of a plurality of elders upon a small church. Now, you have to let something go. You're either going to have to let the concept of the plurality of elders go, That would be an abomination to some people. You can't let that go. That's sacrosanct. Or you're going to have to let the idea of financial support of elders go. And that seems to be easier to let go by many people. And what you will find in most churches that have a plurality of elders is that you will have volunteer elders, with the exception usually of one elder or pastor who is financially supported by the church. And that one is then usually considered an elder, but will be given an additional title, such as minister, or sometimes pastor, as different from elder, not widely different, but still, in everybody's mind, the pastor is the one who does most of the preaching. The pastor is the one who is the teaching elder and is the main elder, the main pastor, but then there are a group of elders, volunteers, who administrate the church, who provide oversight for the church. That's the way that the majority of churches, I think, have solved this dilemma to their satisfaction. I'm not convinced that that is the best biblical solution, but I do point that out. That's the solution that most gravitate to. Now, there is another solution that is not nearly as widely advocated, but I will mention it at this time, and that is to make a distinction between bishop and elder. Because Timothy says, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, singular, he desires a good work. And as you know, the word bishop means overseer. And then deacons in the plural. And in most of the places in the New Testament where you find the word elder, you find it in the plural. Most of the places. And in most of the places where there's a reference to elders and churches, it is in the plural. That much is obvious. So, some have concluded that the bishop is something above an elder. He is an overseer who oversees elders. If we're talking about a local church situation, he would be perhaps what we might call the senior pastor, and he would be the overseer, the main overseer, the supreme overseer, you might say. The chief overseer might be a better word. And then you have a plurality of elders who serve in a lesser function. And in that scenario, the bishop, who generally will not be called a bishop, but the bishop who will be seen as the senior pastor or chief pastor, leading pastor, leading elder, the different terms that are used, will generally be financially supported by the church, but the other elders will generally all be volunteers. Now, of course, there are other solutions where you have more of a denominational structure with a hierarchy that rises above the local church, where a bishop then becomes an overseer over a district and all of the churches that are in that district. So the elders or pastors of the individual churches would answer in some way, to some degree, to a bishop, singular, who is something like a district superintendent. And in that scenario, the bishop, district superintendent, would certainly be supported by the denomination financially, which of course derives its funds from the churches that belong to that denomination. And the individual church pastors would also be financially supported, but they would be supported by the churches that they serve. That would be the solution that some would propose. Now, before we look into this too carefully, and I do have one particular verse that I want to examine, I think we need to make reference to the qualifications for pastors that are found in Titus chapter 1, which essentially are the same as those in 1 Timothy 3. And it seems to be that Paul is just simply issuing basically the same qualifications to Titus that he gave to Timothy, because Titus is serving in a similar function on the island of Crete to what Timothy is serving in the city of Ephesus. And so Paul says in Titus 1:5, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders," plural, in every city, as I commanded you, elders, plural, in every city, as I commanded you, that uses the term elder, as opposed to bishop, overseer, or pastor. It uses the term elder, and it uses it in the plural. And it indicates that there are going to be a plurality of elders in every city, and the assumption is that there will be one church per city, and so this would indicate a plurality of elders in each church, one church per city. He goes on to say in verse 6, if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. You recognize these as very similar qualifications to those in 1 Timothy 3. But then this phrase in verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Now again, reading through the list of qualifications, both before and after that word bishop, you find that this is obviously a parallel to 1 Timothy 3. Though every word in the qualification list is not identical, the general tenor of the passage is exactly the same. And that makes it very difficult to arrive at any other conclusion except that Paul uses the term elder and bishop interchangeably. First he uses bishop, verse 5, in verse 5, appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless. And so it's hard to draw a different conclusion. Some have, but it's hard for me to draw a different conclusion than that Paul uses the term bishop and elder interchangeably. They're one and the same. In this particular passage, you've got the interesting phenomena of elder being in the plural and bishop being in the singular. Bishop in the singular, like you found it in 1 Timothy 3. But the context points so strongly to their being used interchangeably that it's difficult to see a bishop as being anything except an elder, and an elder as being anything except a bishop. But the text that we want to look at, and I'm not going to have enough time to look at this thoroughly, is the one back in 1 Timothy, but now in chapter 5. Moving away from the qualifications in chapter 3, we come to verse 17 of chapter 5, which says, let the elders... Now back to that term again, and in the plural. And so Paul is writing to Timothy in the city of Ephesus, which we already know had a plurality of elders. Check it out in the book of Acts. And he says, let the elders who rule well, and now you have the verb form of bishop. That's what bishop means, is an overseer, one who rules well. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. And this indicates that the elders are to be financially supported by the church. Now, we've run out of time for today, so I want to finish this up tomorrow. Please join me then, and then we'll leave this sticky question of how many elders per church, and move on to the qualifications for deacons. So until tomorrow, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.